Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stota Shata Shri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stota Shata Shri Srimad Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikol Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gora Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Girigovidan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tosi Maharani Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Yurgadharma Hadinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Brihat Murdanga Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter 9, Text 34. Nana Karma Vitanena Prajabhavi Sasrikshataha Not ma vasidayat. Sorry. Not ma vasidayat as minste. Varshiyan madanugraha. Nana karma vitanena. Prajabhavi sasrikshataha. Not ma vasidyat asminste varshiyan madanugraha. And please chant. Matajis, please. Matajis. Okay, word for word meaning. So, Nanakarma, varieties of service. Vitanena, by expansion of. Prajaha, population. Mbavihi, innumerable. Sisikshitaha, desiring to increase. Na, never. Atma, self. Afasiriti, will be bereaved. Asmin, in the matter. Te, of you. Varshiyan, increasing. Mat, my. Anugraha, causeless mercy. Translation. Since you have desired to increase the population innumerably and expand your varieties of service, you shall never be deprived in this matter because my causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees of the Lord in various ways. Such expansions of transcendental service may appear to be material to the materialist, but factually they are expansions of the causeless mercy of the Lord towards the devotee. Plans for such activities may appear to be material activities, but they are different in potency, being engaged in the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of the Supreme. Om Gyanatim Indrasya Gyananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmilitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivari Pushtatadi Shatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation one more time. Since you have desired to increase the population innumerably and expand your varieties of service, you shall never be deprived in this matter, because my causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time. Yeah. So, the Lord is speaking to Lord Brahma here. Lord Brahma desiring to, as his service, create the universe. So, Krishna is responding. One time a few years ago, there was a new devotee here. Okay, Hare Krishna. One time a few years ago, there was a new devotee here. Mataji, and she was aspiring to take initiation from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. And, you know, she's American. She was coming around sometimes and chanting.
One day she received a phone call and she answered it, and it was actually Jayapataka Swami himself. And he was calling her just to see how she was doing. And this is very amazing because Maharaj has something like 50,000 disciples, and he has many responsibilities in Mayapur. And somehow or another, he knew about this simple Bhaktin Mataji, and he called her to ask how she was doing. So I remember one of my friends, we were talking about this. How is this possible? I feel like I have hardly any time to do anything because, you know, I'm engaged in some service, not so much. I could be engaged in more. I could be doing a lot better. But still, I feel like most of my days are completely filled up. What to speak of, you know, calling a bunch of people and asking them how they're doing. Sometimes I don't even have time to read on my own. So my friend and I, we were speaking about this. How is this possible? And we came to the conclusion, which is kind of a philosophical speculation, that if Krishna wants, he can expand time. He expands time when he's dancing with the gopis. The gopis want to dance with him for a whole year. And so one night becomes a whole year. So in this way, if someone's fully engaged in devotional service, Krishna is seeing their sincerity, Krishna will give them time. Because Krishna is time himself. So just like this, if we're desiring to increase our varieties of service, just like Krishna is saying here to Lord Brahma, then you shall never be deprived in this matter, because my causeless mercy upon you, you will always increase for all time. So if we desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives us facilities to do so. And we understand what service to do by the order of the spiritual master. It is said that by the order itself, the order of the spiritual master itself, the disciple becomes empowered to fulfill such a desire. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada saying that a pure devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees of the Lord in various ways. So we should understand that this is our mission. This is the mission that Srila Prabhupada has given to us, to somehow or another try to assist him in expanding the number of devotees. One time, Giriraj Swami Maharaj was asking Srila Prabhupada, what is the duty of the disciple? And Srila Prabhupada responded, first of all, he said, what is the duty of the spiritual master? And Prabhupada's response was, the duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna. And then he asked, what is the duty of the disciple? And he said, Prabhupada said, the duty of the disciple is to assist his spiritual master in serving Krishna. So we do not directly serve Krishna. We are actually assisting the spiritual master in serving Krishna. So whatever service we're doing, whether we're on the altar, we're performing Harinam Sankirtan, whatever it may be, this is actually our spiritual master and the previous acharyas' desire to do this service, and we are simply assisting them in their seva. And in this way, we can keep a humble mentality that it's not me doing the service. Even if I distribute 1 million books in one day, that wasn't my doing. I didn't distribute those. It was Srila Prabhupada's doing, our spiritual master's doing. And because of our sincere desire to surrender to them, they can empower us. And not that we become proud that I'm an empowered devotee, but whether we see that our spiritual master is so powerful and so devotionally potent that he can use a fool like me, a useless slob like me, in something useful, make my existence have some value. In New Vrindavan, when New Vrindavan was very, very new, Srila Prabhupada was taking a walk, and different devotees were explaining how they were very busy with menial services, cleaning this, fixing that, bringing this from one building to another, taking mud out where it was in the way of the path, etc., menial services. And Prabhupada says, yes, you keep busy your whole life with these menial services, and you go back to Godhead. So this is actually the mercy of Krishna. He actually creates services for us, for the sadhakas, for the devotees to perform. In one sense, really, we can just be chanting under a tree somewhere and be happy. But because most of us aren't qualified to perform such a service as Haridas Thakur would prefer, therefore the spiritual master creates a variety of services that we can engage our mind and our senses in. Because currently our mind and senses are conditioned, so if we engage those conditioned senses in the service of Krishna in some way or another, they become purified. Just like we worship the deity and we come to the temple, this is all stimulating our senses transcendentally. And another time, right here, actually, up in Prabhupada's quarters, Sri Dayananda Goswami came in, and at that time, he was a grihastha. And his wife was supposed to come with him to see Srila Prabhupada, and his wife somehow was late. I'm pretty sure it was Sri Dayananda Maharaj. I'm almost 100% sure. And Prabhupada asked, you know, where is your wife? And he said, she's always busy doing something. And she got caught up in some service and got distracted. Then she came a few minutes later. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is very good. Stay busy, busy, busy for Krishna. Otherwise, Maya will say, come and play with me. So we have to continuously stay busy in devotional service. Not that we burn ourselves out by working too hard. We have to be intelligent and learn how to pace ourselves and perform service in such a way that we can continue day after day. Bhrigupati Prabhu once told me that distribute books in such a way that you want to do it again tomorrow. So if you just go all out one day, you know, 15, 20 hours, you don't want to do it again tomorrow. But if you go out just a few hours, you can do it every single day. And in the long run, it's better service. You do more service and better quality, even more quantity in due course of time. So in Prabhupada's purport, he's explaining that the pure devotee, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, objects, and circumstances. So this is Kala, Kala, Deshapatra, time, place, circumstance. According to the time, place, and circumstance, he will maybe adjust various means in such a way to expand the preaching. So we see that practically. We know by Srila Prabhupada's own example how he did things differently here in the West that in India seemed to be maybe deviation. But actually it wasn't a deviation at all, because Srila Prabhupada understood that the mission of Lord Chaitanya is to expand this Hare Krishna movement all over the world. And again, according to time, place, and circumstance, we may have to make some adjustments just so the conditioned souls can come in contact, more conditioned souls can come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement. For example, he created Brahmacharini ashrams. He gave women's second initiation. He allowed, not free mixing, but you can say free mixing, but in the sense that he still emphasized no illicit sex, don't live together as boyfriend and girlfriend, be married. But he understood that things in the West are different than in India. And if you were to just give all the rules and regulations just for the sake of giving rules and regulations, then people will miss out on the essence. The rules and regulations are there only to facilitate us becoming Krishna conscious. Was that verse? Smarta Vyas Tham Vishnur? I forget the rest. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That all rules and regulations culminate in always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So if we're just attached to the rules without understanding, or attached to the law without understanding the spirit of the law, then the essence is lost. Rather, we should have both. And it's not that we just have the essence of law, of the law, and we forget the rules of the law. We have to have both in place to actually give us the fruit of devotional service, which is Krishna Prema, pure love of God. So Srila Prabhupada simultaneously kept the law. He may have to adjust it in a certain way to facilitate the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. Just like in different countries, traffic laws may be different. In one country, you drive on the right side. On another country, you drive to the left. So different rules may be a little bit different, but the essence of it is to make driving safe, to make it so accidents are minimized. So that is the spirit of the law. And also in the purport, Prabhupada explains that such expansions of transcendental service may appear to be material to the materialist, but factually they are expansions of the causeless mercy of the Lord towards the devotee. So someone who doesn't have transcendental knowledge, who doesn't understand the Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement of expanding love of God all over the world, they may see the devotee's activities as mundane. Just for example, Prabhupada hatched this transcendental plot, he said, by getting money by distributing books. Not that the goal was to get money, but simultaneously from distributing books, you get Lakshmi to maintain the temples, to expand the preaching around the world, and simultaneously you're doing the highest preaching. So and simultaneously the devotee engage in that service is making a lot of advancement, getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But from a mundane perspective, selling books is not spiritual. You know, it's like encyclopedia salesman, or you go to Barnes & Noble and you can buy books there. So why are devotees in parking lots and schools and colleges and festivals selling books, dealing with money, dealing with credit card machines, dealing with the internet to get Venmo and Cash App and Zelle and all these things? It seems mundane, but actually this is pure transcendence. Even the lines we use on book distribution, yo bro, what's up man? This is actually transcendental sound vibration, because it's meant, the purpose of that is meant for that person to come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's mercy. One time I was sitting at a book table in Santa Cruz, and some envious person, really envious person, came up and just immediately started criticizing us. And he knew about our movement. He knew about ISKCON. And he was bringing up some like controversial issues. And we were just sitting there, and you know, we were trying to ignore him. But then he started criticizing that ISKCON, you guys are a multi-million dollar incorporation, and you guys are so concerned about money. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, yeah, actually ISKCON should own all the money of the world, because ISKCON is actually an incarnation of Krishna, and all Lakshmi belongs to Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. So actually we should have all the money, just not only millions or billions of dollars. We should own every penny of the world. So this is just one example of someone with mundane perception seeing a pure transcendental movement as something mundane, calculating it with his material mindset. A few months ago, we were at Long Beach City College. I think Bhakti Kir was there also. We went to CSU Long Beach, and it was really tough. It was Brigadpati Prabhu, Bhakti Kir, Nitya Sankirtan Yajna Prabhu, who was visiting, and myself. And we were going to split the parties up in two people at each table. So we went to a big university, and we set up two book tables in two different areas, and we were both having a tough time. Right? You were there, right? Oh, yeah, Bhakti Jimmy was there, too. And you were there. Yeah, and Bhakti Jimmy. So we had two tables at two different places, and it was tough. We were all struggling. So Brigadpati Prabhu and I decided that we were struggling to distribute books. Nobody was stopping or taking books. So Brigadpati Prabhu and I, we decided to go to a city college about 20 minutes away. And so we packed up and we went there. And again, it was pretty tough. But we tried, and we did something. And then we went back to the university to pick up the other devotees, Bhakti Jimmy and Nitya Sankirtan Yajna Prabhu. And at that point, it was sunny outside, and we drove the vehicle onto the campus to pick up the devotees, and it started sprinkling rain. And Bhrigupati Prabhu said, "Oh, this is very auspicious. It's called Divya Snan, when it rains while the sun's out." So, Deva Snan. Oh, okay. Deva Snan. And so it was raining, and he said, "It's very auspicious." I said, "Really? Okay, I'm going to try to distribute a book." So I just spontaneously, I pulled out a whole Bhagavatam set, and the very first person I met, mind you, I was struggling to distribute books all day. It wasn't very good, relatively. I took out a Bhagavatam set. The very first person I met, he was actually a teacher. He took the whole Bhagavatam set and gave $500. Just the very last person of like the very last minute of the day. And we drove away and it was really ecstatic. And sometimes when we talk about experiences like this, again, the mundane mind may say, "Why are you so excited about some donation or some books going out?" But actually, we understand that this is Lord Chaitanya's reciprocation, that when we go out and we try to, like in this purport, expand the number of devotees, that Lord Chaitanya's reciprocation comes in the form of books going out, Lakshmi coming in, people dancing on the Harinam, people coming to the temple. So of course we're going to be excited about this. And this is actually transcendence. This is pure transcendence. This is actually Lord Chaitanya's pastimes happening in modern day. And one devotee, Jagadish Prabhu, forget he has a second part of his name, but he comes here sometimes. He gave class one time and he said that his favorite thing to witness is somebody new coming to devotional service, because he was saying that before my eyes, I am watching Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, something that has a form of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that has never taken place in the history of the universe. This particular person coming in some particular way to devotional service and beginning his bhakti yoga process. It's the first time, it's something that's never been seen before, that this particular person is surrendering. So we're witnessing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Arjuna fighting in the battle of Kurukshetra is not mundane. This is on the order of Krishna. The whole battle of Kurukshetra becomes spiritual. When we read Mahabharata, there's so much diplomacy and intrigue and envy and killing, but it's all exciting, because it actually stimulates the transcendental senses, because it's purely spiritual. Mundane people will have the concept that monks or yogis will live in some mountains, and real spiritual life means you have no money, or you may not even talk, you don't speak. But actually, this is not real spiritual life. Real spiritual life is, in this age, this particular age, is living in congested cities to engage in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission. And this is actually the best way to become recognized by Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, as Srila Prabhupada often says, that preaching is the best way to become recognized quickly by Krishna. So we can find the most spiritually advanced people right in the middle of congested, hellish cities. And the real devotee, the real transcendentalist, he's not concerned with his external circumstance. Even going to the spiritual world to be with Krishna, yes, that's nice if Krishna wants, but we should be satisfied anywhere. There was a class where Srila Prabhupada was giving, explaining, he was kind of talking about the sun, how there's Surya Narayan, Narayan is in the sun. And one devotee asked the question that, you're speaking about the sun, but shouldn't our desire to be to go to Goloka? And Prabhupada actually chastised this devotee. He said, "What's wrong with the sun planet?" He said, "Actually, your desire should be wherever Krishna wants me to go, that's where I'll go. That's pure devotional service." Not that we engage in devotional service with the hope to go to the spiritual world where everything is eternal and blissful. Only if Krishna wants us to do so. If we have the mentality that we're performing devotional service to go to the spiritual world, that's actually a business mentality. I'm doing service, I'm doing work, and I want a payment for it. And my payment is to go to the spiritual world. But we don't want any payment for our service. Prahlad Maharaj, even when he was asked a boon from Nrisingadev, he did not want anything but to serve him. And because Nrisingadev wanted Prahlad to take a boon so badly, Prahlad, just to please his Lord, accepted a boon, and his only boon was to deliver his father. So we could see, even if Krishna offers us some benediction, our only prayer, our only wish should be, please help other conditioned souls come back to you. Nothing for myself. And this is actually why Lord Chaitanya became so pleased by Vasudev Dutt. He actually said, my body belongs to Vasudev Dutt, because Vasudev Dutt was prepared to suffer in hell for the rest of eternity so that the conditioned souls can go back to the spiritual world. He was even willing to take everyone's karma. So this is pretty intense. Can you imagine everyone's karma? Not only humans, but all the insects, all the bugs, all the germs, everyone in hell, all their karma, just so everybody else can be happy with Krishna. And I'd like to end with one thing in Srila Prabhupada's purport in the second canto, explaining the hellish planets is very inspiring. First of all, he says that if even for a moment remembrance of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, that is the greatest loss. And that is the greatest illusion. And that is the greatest anomaly. The Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. For instance, even in the wombs of their mothers, Maharaj Prahlad and Maharaj Parikshit worshipped the Lord. Even in their very childhood, at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Lord. Even in full youth, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Lord. And even at the last stage of his frustration and old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamil worshipped the Lord even at the point of death, and Chitraketu worshipped the Lord even in hell and in heaven. In the Narasimha Purana, it is said that as the hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord, they began to be elevated from hell towards heaven. Devas Muni has also supported this view. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. So in another purport, Prabhupada explains how Narada Muni once went to the hellish planets and he was performing Harinam Sankirtan. And actually from that, the hellish inhabitants were becoming liberated from their hellish condition. So this is our only reason to exist. We have, as coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, trying to surrender fully, we are basically dead to material society. We have no material interest. Our only reason to exist and live is to merely serve the previous acharyas, to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service, and to somehow or another help the conditioned souls connect with Krishna. There's no value in anything else. Everything else is completely useless except for this one motive of living for others, living for the spiritual master and living for the conditioned souls. Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments or corrections? Feel free to ask. No? Okay. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hari Bol.